Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Antonio Brown has been a big topic on the show tonight. The Raiders have been a big topic on the show tonight. And joining me right now to talk a little bit about the Raiders, he covers the Oakland Raiders. He's their beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, Matt Kawahara. You can get him on Twitter at Matthew Kawahara, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. How is the Antonio Brown experience treating you so far?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been pretty eventful. There's no shortage of storylines on the Antonio Brown front.
Yeah, I guess when they made the trade for Antonio Brown earlier this year during the offseason, was the expectation that he was going to come in and be a different guy than he was in Pittsburgh, because now he's somewhere where they paid him and he's wanted and all those things? Or were people kind of bracing themselves for what we've experienced over the last week or so?
Yeah, I think it was somewhere in the middle. I mean, when they first made the move, obviously people are wondering, what is this? How is this going to work? Like, how is he going to come in here and be a distraction? Is he going to bring a lot of drama with him? But when they had a press conference to introduce him, and it was him, John Gruden, and Mike Mayock all sitting up behind the stage. He was very sort of reserved. I mean, he was not over the top at all. He talked about wanting to bring accountability to the receiver room. He talked about, he mentioned how things ended in Pittsburgh, but it seemed like he was, ready to move on from that. And it was all kind of just very sort of tame almost when they introduced him. And then, they go through spring workouts and he's there and everything. And then all of a sudden, you get to training camp and he's placed on the non-football injury list the same day that hours later after he, arrives on a hot air balloon ride. So that's kind of where everything kicked off. And now for the last couple of weeks, I mean, that first report day, John Gruden said that, after the hot air balloon's done, he expects there's going to be a little bit more drama with Antonio Brown going forward, but I don't think that they quite expected it would be this at this point.
Matt Kawahara covers the Raiders for the San Francisco Chronicle, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Gruden was very supportive of Antonio Brown over the weekend when he was asked about him. He's, if you're Antonio Brown, it sounds like your head coach is saying things that make you feel pretty good. Are we buying that John Gruden is fully supporting Antonio Brown's act right now, or is this kind of what he has to say right now just because we're still in the honeymoon phase and the dead money phase of the contract and everything else?
Yeah, it's that's a good question, just because before last night, after they played the first preseason game and he addressed those questions, he really hadn't said anything about Antonio Brown. He was obviously repeatedly asked over the previous week, where's Antonio Brown? What's the status with his feet? And Gruden really stonewalled all those questions. He wouldn't talk about specifics of what Brown's injury is, or he wouldn't, say whether he was with the team, or he basically shut down all questions. And then last night he goes on this kind of long spiel about how, he's supportive of Brown, both on the feet injury, which Gruden says wasn't his fault, and the helmet issue, which has popped up over the last couple of days. And yes, it did seem at that, I mean, my first reaction to it was that the tone of it was pretty genuine. I mean, you can usually tell when Gruden's kind of having his fun with the media or making a little, joke or snide comment here and there. But then you also have to take into account, I mean, this is the first time he's addressed this stuff since the previous day when all these reports escalated extremely quickly that Brown has this issue with his helmet, and if he doesn't get to wear the helmet that he wants, he might not play this year. And so, yeah, I think you can also view it as maybe a little bit of this needed to be said from the Raiders' point of view, just to make sure that Brown publicly sees that they are publicly standing behind him, so he might be a little bit more, inclined to show up in the next week, which is what Gruden said that they're hoping that he is going to do.
To what degree is Derek Carr fighting for his job right now? I don't mean his job as the starter this season, but I mean long-term. To what degree is he fighting to be the long-term solution at quarterback for the Raiders?
I mean, it's a tough question. I would say that, with the exception of maybe, a handful of quarterbacks in the league, everybody's, fighting for the long-term long-term security to a certain extent, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Carr is on a five-year, I think it's a five-year extension that he signed a couple of years ago. Everything that we've heard so far this offseason and in training camp is that Gruden has publicly come out and said that he supports Carr, said that Carr has made a lot of strides in the offense. He's really confident in the way that that Carr is kind of running things right now. But objectively, I mean, you stand back and you look at what they did with the offense this year. They brought in Antonio Brown. They signed Trent Brown, made him the highest paid offensive lineman in the league to be the right tackle. They totally overhauled their receiver group. And so I think, I don't think there's any question that there is some sort of expectation or demand that Carr is going to take this offense to the level that it was not performing at last year. Obviously, there were a lot of problems with that team last year. Their defense was very bad, but the offense didn't do them a whole lot of favors either. And I think there is that sort of expectation that Carr is going to show some improvement and help this team improve this year. Now, whether that is going to whether their record or his passing yards or completion percentage is going to determine whether he's playing in Las Vegas next year, I'm not confident in saying that. But there is I think there is going to be some scrutiny on him, as there has been the last few years.
Matt Kawahara, San Francisco Chronicle Raiders beat writer, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. I just want to circle back to Antonio Brown on one more question. This helmet thing will play itself out, I'm sure, but I'm curious, the foot issue right now, the frostbite of the feet, what are they saying in Oakland right now in terms of the seriousness of that injury?
Yeah, so the Raiders, John Gruden, nobody at the Raiders has publicly confirmed that it's frostbite. I mean, it's been reported in several ways, and it's kind of just understood that he's dealing with this frostbite issue in the bottom of his foot. They have not said anything specifically about that or about the cryotherapy mishap that is it's being attributed to. But for last night was also notable because it was really the first time that Gruden has sort of characterized sort of the severity of the injury. Like I said before, he really had not touched any questions about the details at all. And then last night he came out and said both that Brown's foot injury is very serious or really serious, and also that it's not a laughing matter. And I think that was kind of a little shot at some of the ways that it's been reported about him, just going into a cryotherapy machine without the right footwear on. So we don't really know specifically what the severity of the injury is, but it seems evident. I mean, from what we've been able to sort of piece together from what they've said, is that it's been enough to keep him out of practice. And I think their stance right now is that it is the feet and not the issue with the helmet that has sidelined him since I think it was not this past Tuesday, but the previous one. So for the last 10 days.
What's the dynamic like, Matt, between John Gruden and Mike Mayock, the general manager? From a standpoint of, I'm assuming Gruden is the guy who has final say on things just because he has the 10-year, $100 million guaranteed contract. But how much influence does Mayock have, and how much do you sense Gruden is listening to Mayock's recommendation on things?
Yeah, I think it's pretty healthy right now. Obviously, it's still new, so there's, anything can change that at some point. But they're... Mayock, I think really shortly after he was hired, he came out and explicitly said, hey, John has the final say on personnel mm-hmm. decisions. So I don't think there's any sort of misunderstanding there about, hey, there's going to be this like power struggle or anything like that. It's pretty understood that the players that they're going to acquire are the players that Gruden wants in his system. But I think their working relationship and sort of the dynamic between them is good in the sense that, when John came in and Reggie McKenzie was still here last year, it was often portrayed, I think, that they didn't really get along. I think they got along, but they sort of operated at different tempos. I mean, Gruden is all the time pushing, getting up super early in the morning, watching film all the time. And Reggie was sort of a little bit more methodical in the way that he did things. And I think Mayock is sort of more at Gruden's tempo. And I think they like that about each other. And so that their working relationship, as far as we've seen right now, very healthy. They kind of riff off of each other when they're talking in the media. Obviously, they both have that history of being on camera, so they're pretty comfortable doing that kind of thing. But yeah, I think, you know, all signs are right now, things are pretty good, but week one of the preseason of the first year that they've worked together. So plenty of time for that to change if it does. Mm.
Yeah, that'd be a fun duo to cover, no doubt about that. Matt Kawahara, San Francisco Chronicle, Raiders beat writer, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Last one before I let you go, Matt. How is it covering a team that's on Hard Knocks right now?
Yeah, I don't want to say you don't. You know, the company line, the standard line from players is, oh, you don't really notice the cameras after a few days. You definitely notice the cameras. I mean, there's cameras, you know, everywhere. There's in press conferences, on the sideline, and in camp. It was really easy to spot Antonio Brown the first couple of days when he was actually out wandering around the field because there was this huge boom mic following him around all the time. Gruden had some crack during a press conference that he like had a nightmare the previous day that the guy with the boom mic was, you know, in his room. He woke up and the guy was standing over him. But anyway, it's like they're there, but I think they're not intrusive in terms of, I mean, just from our point of view, like, reporting, they don't really get in the way. It's, you know, other cameras are around all the time. For the players, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily, I think the way that, you know, you look at Hard Knocks or when you watch it, you think that it really is sort of this fly on the wall thing where they're, you know, they're almost invisible and they're capturing these organic moments that are happening in camp. I'm sure there's a little bit of that, but I think there's also kind of an understanding among the players that everything they do is being recorded and could be shown. And it's impossible just naturally for that to not, you know, play into a little bit how you're interacting with people. So, you know, it's a presence. It's something we have to watch every week to see, you know, if they've caught something that, that we weren't able to. And it's really going to be interesting, I think, this week to see how they portray this stuff with Antonio Brown, and see if they've been following him the past few days. Because I think that's really going to speak a lot to what they are or aren't allowed to show and who's kind of making those decisions, because this is like prime drama. I mean,
it's the biggest story in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. They could be showing fans something that nobody else can if they're allowed to like follow them around with the camera. But, you know, if the Raiders or the NFL or anybody's saying, hey, no, we would rather you don't do this. I don't know what the dynamic is there, but if there's not a lot of Antonio Brown in this week's episode, then that's going to be kind of weird. So,
Matt, look, I'm based in Houston, so Hard Knocks was here 4 years ago, back in 2015. If you want to make it fun, get with some of your media friends there, both in print and TV, radio, whatever, and what you do what we did. We had a pool where if you showed up on Hard Knocks, we kept score as to who could show up on Hard Knocks the most. And at the end, the person who showed up the most got the money. It's a pretty, you know, it kind of keeps it interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you have to be really smart about where you position yourself.
That's it, right, baby. That's it. Yeah, you gotta know where those cameras are. So
yeah, so standing behind the camera is not a good idea. Though.
Bad idea.
Bad
idea. No, that's like calling a draw play on 3rd and 25, thinking you're going to make the first down. Matt Kawahara, San Francisco Chronicle, covers the Raiders, and you can get him on Twitter at Matthew Kawahara. Matt, appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.